number 50.
I have tried.
protects my barn, he does safely keep, and he leads me gently on through this whirlwind home. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all my home at last, ever to rejoice.
the signs of time tell us of Christ's coming. Let us all be ready to meet Him, to be caught up with Him, to live forever. Oh Lord, how long will it be? How long will it be till I see Jesus? I want to see the one who died for me, to be with Him forever and ever. Oh Lord, how long will it be? Let us go and tell the world about Jesus, because we don't have much longer to serve. Let us cherish each moment that He gives us, that we might win souls to the Lord. How long will it be till I see Jesus? I want to see the one who died for me, to be with Him forever and ever. Oh Lord, how long will it be? Oh Lord, how long will it be?
Amen. We've truly been blessed tonight with a lot of good singing. And if you've not paid no attention to those words that we've been singing about, you missed a whole bunch. I don't know which one was my favorite, but there was a bunch of them was my favorite tonight. Them was good. Good to see you. Easy to get sidetracked. Man, here last week or so I've been talking to some folks that's kind of needed something, if you know what I mean, needed. And when they need something, it's not talking about money or anything like that. Sometimes folks just need to hear what God's fixing to do. And when you're included in that number, when a role is called up yonder, I'll be there. When you're included in that number, sometimes you just like to hear what's going to happen next. And that's the reason, I think, the Thessalonians was put in the Bible. Because we needed to kind of know what was next. Now, the reason he put Revelation in the Bible is let us know what world's going to happen next. The reason we have the Gospels, and you pick you one that you like best. I like John pretty good. Pick one of those, and it'll tell you what the Lord was going to tell us while he was here and what he's going to do next. Now, I got news for you. Somewhere in the middle, we got to figure out what our objective is in this life. I want you to turn with me to Timothy. If you was paying attention this morning, you'll know I was in 1 Timothy. Well, chapter number 1, I believe, or 2, 3. Well, I'm going to the first chapter tonight. The first chapter. When the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, he had a person in his mind that I believe he wanted to make an impact with. And when you are letting the Lord lead you, when you let Him lead you, you don't realize the impact you're making. Now listen carefully to this. You are doing, Paul preached exactly what God wanted him to preach. Paul said what God wanted him to say. We get to read it. When we hear those things, things. When we hear that, sometimes it makes an impact on us. But if you were receiving the letter for the first time, and you have to go back and think about when you might have read some of these scriptures for the first time. When you're receiving that letter and it was kind of written to you, kind of like favorite verses, when they're written to you and you receive that, it makes a lasting impression. If you've ever been in a revival meeting and heard your favorite preacher preach a revival meeting. Now, a few, I can name a bunch that I kind of like over the years. What you do is you soak up everything that they say. You'll soak it up. You'll hear it. You'll try to comprehend it. You'll try to think, wow, what was... But God knows what you need when you need it that can make a lasting impression. The scriptures tell us about this eternal thing that He has. It's called the Word. It'll not pass. It'll be there from now on. His Word will abide forever. With this in mind, I want to start reading just a few verses. But it's found in the book of 1 Timothy, and I want to look at chapter number 1, and I want to look at verses 11. It might make a little more sense to you if I read 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, and for unholy and profane. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now he's saying there's this kind, and if it is contrary to sound doctrine. Years ago, we wouldn't have had to really emphasize that. We only believed in the salvation that was by Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His blood's the only thing that atones for our sins. We wouldn't have had to explain that too well because you know what? If all of our brothers and sisters believed it, know that there's no question. But yet we're having a society today that likes to put their 2 cents in there. So here, I don't know how Paul did it. I don't know how all this works, but I know a couple thousand years later it's necessary for us today. But let's go on. According. Now because of this, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, and I praise You tonight for what You do. God, I thank You for the testimony of individuals. And God, how that the impact of their life and their following the direction has made such an impact on ours. And I pray, God, tonight we just draw strength from You. God, what's going to face us tomorrow, we pray that God, You'll just lead us through it. And I pray You'll give us strength to overcome that which we have as a weakness. And God, to be able to trust You for all of our shortcomings. And God, we just praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Committed, this last few words, which was committed to my trust. Now, if you were a banker today, and a banker don't handle as much money, physical money, as they used to. But used to, there was a whole lot of cash would transpire hands. Now, I know in the old Coke days, we had a money room, and that's the name. It was a real fancy word for a money room. And when you went in that money room, you didn't want to tarry long. You didn't.
We get all kinds of dollars and cents and quarters and nickels and dimes and all that kind of stuff. And we had so much of that small stuff that they'd have to run them machines on and coin counters and all that kind of stuff. And one of them guys would come and get sacks full of that stuff. And I'm thinking, man, if I was going to steal something, I wasn't going to steal them sacks of them coins. I couldn't run very far with it. I'd rather get them things that was be them folding kind, you know, that wasn't as heavy, you know. And I think, man, look at all that money. When it was in Nashville, that money room had cameras, I believe, every square inch of that room. I really do. I mean, before you went in the room and while you was in there, you could just name that tune with all those cameras. Why? Because they trusted almost everybody and trusted nobody, okay? You know, that's how that worked. But what it was, that money was entrusted or committed to a trust. In fact, that every dollar that come in was just counted and went on to the bank. That banker, them tellers just collect that money. They don't get a portion of it. They just collect it and in turn put it to your account. Pretty simple, isn't it? Paul's saying, something was committed to me. Something greater than I am that is the answer to the world's problems. That kind of a commitment that something God gave is greater than all of us put together. That kind of commitment has a huge responsibility. Now, I want to tell you, we get to hear the news about Minnesota and them folks up there steal right and left is what we're hearing. It's not everybody, but the ones that are doing it, they all say, we didn't do it, okay? Nobody's guilty. Now, if I was to tell the Lord, I don't have this kind of commitment, I'm taking the gospel and I'm saying, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not entrusted with it. Don't put this on me. When I got saved and you got saved, God put something within us. But that wasn't all. No, no, no. Don't think salvation is everything. And when I say, oh, that's the only thing. No, it's right. I'm going to heaven. But God entrusted me with something else besides that. The ability to share that kind of commitment. The gospel could easily be hid. I don't remember who. Somebody not too long ago did this, either in Sunday school. I can't remember. My memory is just terrible. Listen to what Matthew 25, and listen to what verse 14 says. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Here comes a commitment. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. In fact, he committed to folks what he knew they could do with what he gave them. God didn't make a mistake with what he gave me and you. God didn't make a mistake. We're all saved with a sufficient salvation. None of us are any higher than anybody else in this world. Salvation is dead across, dead even for millions and millions of folks that have been saved. When the woman asked for her sons to sit on the right and the left, the Lord said, can't do that. Can't do that. There is a seat prepared that God has, and I'm going to call it the pecking order, but I want you to know God has a way of putting us in a position not because of salvation, because of what we've done with our salvation. We're all saved. The Bible didn't say you go to heaven and when you get to heaven, Okay, for some of you, you barely make it. And for others, you get to go on to the mansion that I prepared. No, heaven is prepared for all of his children. Right? But what we've got here is God has entrusted us, as he said here, some he gave five, some he got down to the part of just giving one. What Paul was saying to Timothy in this little passage, according to the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, God has given me something I can do with or I can do nothing with. I can share the gospel. Bible teaches us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means God has committed to us this, what we call the Great Commission. God has committed to us to do something with what we've got. Not a one of us should go through this world not sharing what we've got. If you've got the ability to teach, you better teach. If you've got the ability to help, you better help. If you have a particular area in the Bible that you're strong on, you better share it. God has given us certain things above. Now, we're not talking about salvation. God has given us a commitment, and that kind of commitment is worth sharing. Many years ago, and many of us here, every one of us should know, but Jack Van Impe, the man that guy could quote the Bible. I mean, I know he didn't know it all, but it wasn't much he didn't know, okay? Out of his own mouth, he would almost vaguely say he could get it all, you know. But that what he did with what he had inspired others. What he did, I've not known anybody in my lifetime, but what he did inspired others. How he conducted himself, how he done those things that he did with that Bible made it proof positive that we all could memorize verses in the Bible. Not maybe to his level, but to a level that we're comfortable with. He is one of many examples that God, salvation, when we get to heaven, stands side by side with Jack Van Impe. As he goes into the portals of glory, guess what? We go into the portals of glory. But what we have been given or entrusted with, Paul is saying, and hear what we give a title to. We do this. Greatest preacher since Jesus Christ. Man, he was a good preacher. How do you follow up after Paul? We're going to have a preaching service here, and Paul's going to preach first. Don't let me go second. When Nick Saban retired, he's like when Bear Bryant retired. When them good coaches, don't go second. Don't. Nobody's going to like you. When the Apostle Paul delivered this little book to Timothy, Timothy could have took it from a human standpoint and said, I can't follow him. But if God gives you this committed gospel, he doesn't want us to hold it. In fact, young or old, God wants us to share it. That was the first thing. Look with me just a second for verses number 12, this very next verse. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I don't know how you answer this one. How does God count us? Have you counted? Have you took a weekly poll of how you conducted yourself last week. If you haven't, make it simple. Conduct yourself today. Did you do good? And I'm not talking about good works. How did you do in the eyes of the Lord? Would He have said you've been faithful? See, going to church is just one area. One area. If God is able to know whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and knows whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God knows how many times we go to church in our lifetime. We got those fancy Bible programs that will tell us how many times the word prayer is mentioned in the Bible, and you can find it just like that. God's better than that on figuring up how many times we've been to church. But going to church is not faithful, because there's a lot of folks in hell that's going to have a high count going to church, but they're not going to be considered faithful. You follow me? You understand that when God said, listen, God entrusted, God give the Apostle Paul, now let me tell you, salvation, that's good, but God give him something. And when He gave him something, He called him, you're faithful. And He entrusted him and called him faithful and put him into the ministry. There's been people in the Bible, as well as people that you've known, that have been a blessing in church, blessing in the community, because of their faithfulness to God. Just because you're not a preacher, that don't make you not considered to be faithful in the ministry. Being faithful to God. Here is the Apostle Paul that had every known way he could have bragged on himself. But he bragged on the Lord. That's number two. We've got a commitment. We got a faithful. Look down just a couple of verses, and I want you to, and I'm not going to read it all, but I want you to listen as we read just couple of verse. Who was before, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is Christ Jesus, that a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause. Now, notice, if I hadn't read that, you wouldn't have had time. But howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. The third thing that the Apostle Paul is sharing to young Timothy, he is showing him, for this cause, for these reasons, God give me mercy. Now, if you were a young preacher, in my younger days, I liked to listen to some folks that had abilities to help younger preachers. And some folks are jealous and won't share nothing that they have. They're all out for themselves. That's okay. But then there's other preachers that have the ability to terminology, take somebody under their wings. And what they're doing is not to build up themselves, but to help them along the journey This is what we're hearing. When Paul says he got mercy, he needed mercy. If there ever was a person that would have split hell wide open, give Paul time enough, and he, as called Saul, he would have been in hell. But when he got saved, he obtained mercy. Now, here's what you do with what you got. Here's what you do. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. There's a pattern. In the old quilting days, they take a pattern and they lay that rascal out, and the next thing you know, them sewing ladies would just be sewing, and they did, you know, one stitch at a time. And them quilts, and all of a sudden, it didn't make a lot of sense, but they repeated that pattern over and over and over again. And next thing you know, it was no longer called a pattern. It was a finished product called a quilt. Now, you know that process. It's just a bunch of cloths sewed together, but it becomes something different. Me and you have nothing on our own. But when Christ... salvation. He gave enough that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're just as sure in heaven if we's already there. But God's give us something to share. And in that sharing process, sometimes it's just words. But the words, along with what has happened, has made it something that would be a memory in people's lives to remember their lifetime. There have been people in church that have sang in choirs like that up there. That if you was to ask yourself, do you remember old so-and-so? You know what they might say? Oh yeah, they used to sing third row, second row. That's where they sung. Oh, you remember that song they used to think, can't think of the name of it, but it was a blessing to you. May not remember the song. You might not remember what they did, might not remember all, but they made an impact on you that long after, this old mind might not cooperate, but long after that, they made a lasting impression upon you, just like the apostle did to Timothy, just like the apostle does to us. We never knew him face to face. But there's no greater conversion scriptures in the Bible than when the Apostle Paul was on the road and a bright light shined and God saved his soul. I can rejoice on him getting saved. And when somebody gets saved down here, we always like to use the verse, there's joy in the presence of angels. And I know what it's talking about. But a friend of mine, I sure enjoy it when it happens around here and I get to enjoy part of it. You know why that is? Because God has given us something that we can share. And it's not stuff that we've accomplished. It's what he's accomplished. Ain't you glad you don't get saved because of the preacher? I'm glad you get saved because of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're here tonight, friend. Make an impression. Make a point to help somebody. Because down the road, that somebody in need may not be you, but that somebody in need might be preaching like the apostle Paul did, or might be preaching like young Timothy did. And when you preach the gospel and somebody gets saved, you rejoice because of that salvation. You rejoice because there's one less sinner going to hell. And I'm thankful for that. Let's have a song. Brother Doug, or Brother Greg, I appreciate you coming tonight and being a part of the service. But I appreciate much, much more Christ being a part of the service. And when he comes and begins to be a part or the main reason why we're here, we can rejoice together.
And I'm glad the Lord's here. I'm glad He's here. And because when the Lord's here, we know He's in charge. And everything will be done according to His will. Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking to you. You come.